Okay, joining me now on the line are Joe Kappa and Carolyn Morton. And if you've listened to the programme before, we spoke to Joe a few weeks ago about some of the projects that are going on at Grand Union. And in particular, we were talking about the Growing project, which has moved very bravely online. And last time we spoke to Joe, she promised to bring one of her Green Army, I think as we phrased it at the time, onto the show just to help us get a bit more of a sense and a perspective on some of the things that are going on there. So first of all, Joe and Carolyn, welcome to the programme.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you.
Great to have you on. And I think we'll probably start, Joe, with a bit of an update about Grand Union, because people are probably wondering what's happening around that space at the moment.
Yeah, sure. I guess I'm not sure if we went into much detail last time, but Grand Union was undertaken a capital development project to try and raise funds to own a building just up the way. And as you know, that's been paused. Grand Union, as well as being an artist gallery, public gallery, we also have studios, and we're just actually at the moment getting ready for the studios to go back, just implementing sort of safe measures. Other than that, we've been working in the background, doing lots of research and developing new program that really responds to, I guess, the world as we might move forward. The Growing project is continuing. We're just moved back in the last couple of weeks into to do some gardening back at the hostel. But also in the background, we're working on a new programme which will try and occupy more space across Digbeth and undertake something, a programme that we're calling Field Commissions, where we're looking to work with artists over a year to really respond to the current climate and think about the city and the future of sort of green spaces in the city. The Growing project, as you said, has moved online. We've continued, but we've actually grown through this. We've been able to grow our network, and so now we've gathered in lots of different experts and gardeners and artists who are interested in gardening from around Birmingham and across the country. But we're also, I've started to join another significant conversation that's in response to the COVID crisis, which is really asking questions around the initiative of growing across the city and other people who are really thinking about future food security. And so we're looking to sort of form a new Birmingham food collective. So I think that's us up to this point at the moment.
You haven't been resting on your laurels at all from all of those kind of things. Now, Carolyn, I'm going to call you Camo now, because I think that's your kind of artistic tag. Is that right?
It is, yeah.
So, Camo, tell me how you've kind of got involved with this, because I suspect that you might be a co-conspirator from way back with Joe, maybe.
Yeah, I think we met way back in the late 90s. When we were both at, well, what was Birmingham Polytechnic then, doing an MA. And then I left the city for quite a while, and I literally bumped into Joe maybe like three, four years ago. And we were talking about allotments and what we've been doing. And I think from that, our connection with growing blossomed, I guess you could say, yeah.
Would you describe yourself as an artist? Would that be the best thing to use to describe what you do as a kind of day job?
Yes, it would.
So that's a broad term, isn't it? So looking at some of the things that you've been involved in and done, it's a real range of stuff. It's sort of craft and audio and painting and all kinds of other things.
Yeah. I guess the thing that drives my interest is always people. People are endlessly fascinating to me. And I think how I describe what I do is often sitting alongside people. It's when that rather unclear job title of artist can be quite useful, because people don't know what that relationship is. So it's quite an open space to be able to just have conversations with people that they're not always able to do in other parts of their lives.
And in terms of the Growing project and your involvement to date with that, there's mm-hmm. quite a wide network of people, or a widening network of people involved in that. Do you think people maybe are we getting towards something that's we can call normal again, even though it might be a new version of it? What's your take? That's a big question.
Yeah, it is. And I still feel like we're all stuck in a bit of a limbo. We're waiting for something to happen, for some sort of direction or lead to enable us to move forward. And it feels like individually, people are trying to make steps to make connections with people and find ways of working with and around social distancing.
Now, Jo, last time you told us about some of the kind of social things that are going on through the growing project. You told us, I think you alluded to some fascinating conversations about compost, but I'm sure the agenda might have moved on a bit from last time. So that's a weekly kind of gathering, get together.
Yeah, we guess sort of are fumbling along in terms of the format of that. However, we've sort of, I guess as a group, started to sort of identify some key objectives or sort of focus. And yes, we come together to sort of share knowledge, tips, and really encourage each other in terms of the growing cycle. But also a couple of weeks ago, we did a plant swap. So additional seedlings that people had taken from seed and didn't need, we very safely and socially distant gathered and sort of swapped plants and people brought along spares, and we was able to take them back into the hostel and distribute to them the people that needed them. As a group, we've also worked with Crisis and we've done some herb plant packs and sent them out to vulnerable people across the city. And we're also looking to try and encourage people to save seeds for the future and really think about the world as we move forward.
So there's some real practical challenges there. In terms of a seed swap, I can imagine arrangements in car parks, maybe, I don't know, and go into the detail of it. But I guess the other side of it is increasingly all of us are dependent on online resources and online access, but for a good percentage of people that just doesn't figure, does it? You know, some folks will have to go somewhere to access online, won't they? So, Camo, how's some of that been approached, do you think, so far?
Well, Joe and I went into St Anne's Hostel a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and I went in again last week. So there's a space where people don't have ready access to the internet. They do have a computer room there, but you know, that obviously the hostel's just starting to work through as well how to open up more of its services.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I guess we all get to, I certainly get to a place where I assume that people have ready access to a phone or a computer, yeah, or the internet, because, you know, I'm lucky enough to have those things. But it's certainly in terms of, you know, there's a kind of wider social justice question, I suppose, in terms of how some of these projects and opportunities are, you know, how do we make sure that they, you know, get to people that need them or at least need to know about them? So, Joe, how, in terms of the kind of online challenge, as I've, you know, sort of said, there are big practical challenges to doing physical things, but the online thing's probably harder as you go on, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for Grand Union, what it's done is enabled us to bring together creative practitioners, I guess people who are already following us, and reconnect and develop their idea of an approach to gardening. But I guess for people who don't have access, that's where the growing project is really crucial in terms of actually providing a safe activity that people can physically come to, and we can really be able to work side by side, you know, at a safe distance, and it really helps people who are isolated to have a connection, which increasingly moving forward to protect people's mental health and well-being, it's going to be even more important. So I think for the growing project, we're really actively looking to seek and access funding that sort of would help us to support that crucial activity as we move forward. This is Switch.
Are there things as artists, as curators, in terms of, you know, facilitating projects, are there things that so far that you've seen and picked up on that you think could perhaps spin out into other sort of creative endeavours?
Just before we went into lockdown, I'd submitted an application to the Arts Council for a project I've been working on, which would have been based down at my allotment. Arts Council shut all of their funding schemes down and put their funds into emergency funding. So I've been trying to reshape what that project might look like. There are connections with the kind of the aims of what the Growing project does. It's about getting people into a green space and connecting through different sorts of creative processes. So down at my allotment, I've been making lots of botanical inks out of the wild plants there. The overlaps happen again. One of our contacts through Crisis has been to the allotment, and we've talked about how we could be sending out ink making instructions and small kits to the members of Crisis that she works with. So I think the balance between the digital virtual world and starting to ease out into the actual physical world, we're having to find creative ways of doing that. But it just becomes a different sort of parameter that we have to take into how we respond creatively to the world that we live in.
And Joe, how about you? Are there things that creatively you can see sort of arising from this and kind of feeding out of this that aren't the project itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I guess the project came out of a real desire as an artist curator to really try and change our relationship to the world that we live in and really respond to some of the key social justice issues that are prevalent, and also really responding to sort of ecological change and potential disaster. And this, I guess, artists are really able to help us change the way that we physically see something, our perspective on something. And it feels now that people are able to listen to those ideas and to really sort of bring into focus the key and important things in our lives. For a lot of people, watching things grow has been so, so important and significant at a time when I guess everything else has felt out of control. There's something really comforting about planting a seed and watching it grow through its cycle that maybe feels really optimistic, which actually is really helpful when we're in quite dark and difficult times.
Well, let's just finish on a question about some of the things you are growing. Okay, so you mentioned earlier on that it's part of a sort of a food movement or a kind of food cooperative, perhaps, in terms of getting that relationship re-established between people and food, I suppose. But practically, what kind of things are you growing? There's a great picture on Grand Union's website of a basket full of what looked like beetroots and chilies and things like that. But I'm guessing you're growing a whole array of things. Camo, what sort of things have you had sprouting?
There's an absolute glut of tomato plants. The resident who's been really keeping the project going during lockdown is a tomato enthusiast. So there's a greenhouse full of tomatoes. But we've also got broad beans, runner beans. There are different sorts of squash, herbs. What else have we got down there, Joe?
Broccoli. I think we've loads of potatoes. Just before lockdown, we'd sown loads of seeds. I guess this year we would have really tried to shape the order of like how things went into the ground. And it's quite interesting to go back into the hostel and work with a planting scheme that isn't necessarily how you would have thought it would have been, but it somehow works. There's something magic about that space that tomatoes grow really well outside when normally they only really grow well under glass. And so without a doubt, there will be definitely lots and lots and lots of tomatoes. Not so many beets, I think, this year.
So, Joe, just to finish, folks listening to the show, if they want to find out more about Growing Project and if perhaps they want to get involved in some of the sort of network or the kind of social things you do online, where should they go in terms of the website?
So if you go onto the website, we are due for a redesign very shortly, so it will look differently. But if you type into the search the Growing Project, all the links and details should be there. Or you can email me, joe@grandunion.com.
Excellent. Well, it's been great to talk to you, and I'm hoping that your fingers get even greener than they are at the moment. I mean that in a good way. But for now, Joe and Camo, thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you, James.